According to the World Health Organization, approximately 466 million people worldwide have some form of disabling hearing loss, and 34 million of these are children. People with a trouble hearing. This could be anywhere from trouble hearing to complete deafness and anywhere in between. That's a lot of folks. Hearing loss is a common physical problem. But friends, this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to talk about how that hearing loss is also a common spiritual problem. So this morning on the program, I'd like to ask the question, how's your hearing? And by that I mean, how do you hear when the Word of God is presented? Thank you for joining us on the program. We appreciate everyone who tunes in each and every week. How is your hearing? In Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus made the statement, "Take heed what you hear." He was talking about the content of the message. We have to be careful, take heed, that we are listening to truth, that we are listening to Jesus, Matthew 17:5, or are we listening to error? Are we listening to truth or that which is false? We need to take heed what we hear. We need to test the content of the message being heard. Is it from the Bible or not? But in another place, Jesus said in Luke 8 and verse 18, "Take heed how you hear." This is an emphasis on the attitude, not the content, but the attitude of the hearer. Am I a hearer that wants to obey or disobey? Listen or close my mind? Take heed how you hear. And that's what I want to focus in on this morning on the program. We want to test our hearing. This morning's program is a hearing test to see how well you and I hear, not physically, but spiritually. How do we receive the message of the Word of God, whether it's on this program each Saturday morning or whether it is some other scenario? We might be listening in a church service. We might just simply be reading our Bible on our own. Or someone may come to us and want to share the Word of God with us. Do we immediately close our ears or are we open to truth? A lot of times we focus with regard to the message of God's Word, we focus on the speaker. What makes a good sermon? What makes a good lesson? And so a lot of times folks will discuss the qualities of a good speaker that they might look for. Voice, tone, and quality. Are they a motivational speaker? Is their message put together in a good format? Introduction, body, conclusion. Do they use illustrations? Do they keep me attentive? And that type of thing. And there's nothing wrong with discussing those kinds of things. But do we ever talk about a good hearer, a good audience member? A lot of times we talk about the qualities of a good speaker. What about the qualities of a good hearer? That's what I want to talk about this morning. Because it's important that we hear Jesus. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Peter, preaching in Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost, he points out to his audience the importance of listening to Jesus. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 22, Peter says, "Moses indeed said, a prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you from among your brethren likened unto me. To him shall you hearken or hear in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you. And it shall be that every soul that shall not hearken or shall not hear to that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people." He's talking about listening to the prophet Jesus, as he goes on to explain in the next few verses. If we don't listen and we don't hear, we're going to be destroyed. And faith comes by hearing. Paul writes in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we cannot please God without faith. The writer of Hebrews in chapter Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. He that comes to God must believe that he is. Without faith we cannot please God. And if faith comes by hearing, and we need faith to please God, then we need to be hearing. If we do not please God, of course, we're going to be lost. So hearing is extremely important. What kind of hearer are you, friend? What kind of hearer am I? Let's test our hearing this morning. I want to talk on the program about six different kinds of hearers that are not good. And if you find yourself to be one of these, I would encourage you to make that change to a type of hearer that is a good hearer. And we'll close the program this morning by looking at what it takes to be a good hearer. If we find ourselves with a hearing problem or hearing loss spiritually, let's make that change so that we can please God, we can have that faith, we can listen to Jesus, and we can be saved in the end. Let's talk a little bit this morning, first of all, about the types of hearers that are not good. First of all, there's the proud hearer. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 13. We're going to read verses 8 through 11. Jeremiah 13, 8 through 11. The proud hearer is the hearer that refuses to hear what God is saying. They've got it in their mind that they don't need God. They've got it in their mind that they can think better than God. They're wiser than God. They're smarter than God. They know more, and they don't have to listen. We find this in the case of Jeremiah, who's preaching to his people before the days of the coming of the Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah 13:8. Then the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, thus says Jehovah, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem, this evil people that refuse to hear my words, that walk in the stubbornness of their heart, and are gone after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle which is profitable for nothing. Jeremiah is using a physical image of a loincloth that is to be discarded, and so Judah and Jerusalem will be discarded. For as the girdle cleaves to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, says Jehovah, that they may be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory, but they would not hear. God's people were close to him, but he would remove them and discard them because they refused to hear. Well, what was their problem? Verse 9, the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem, this evil people that refused to hear my words. Pride in this context is equal to refusing to hear God's word. Where someone puts their human wisdom and it's exalted over God's word. In the New Testament times, it would be equal to somebody like the Jewish Pharisees who put their human traditions over the word of God in Matthew 15 and in Mark chapter 7. They honored their human traditions and wisdom, and they even made void the word of God. They thought they were smart. They thought they were educated. They thought they were intelligent. And there's certainly nothing wrong with using our minds today to be smart and educated and intelligent, as long as we do not follow our human wisdom and place it over the word of God. God gives us our mind. He wants us to be intelligent, but not to refuse to hear Him. It would also be compared in the days of the Apostle Paul, when he wrote Colossians 2 in verse 8, where he talks about human philosophy and not to be taken in by that. Colossians 2:8, take heed lest there shall be any one that maketh spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Earlier, Paul has said all wisdom is in Christ, but some don't want that. Are there hearers like that today? Well, absolutely. You try to talk about the origins of the universe, Genesis 1 and verse 1, and how it came about by God's spoken word of creation, and there will be people that will laugh at that and mock that. And those with science degrees and PhDs and highly intelligent individuals, they say that the scientific community does not believe in creation, and so that's just a fairy tale, and we're not going to listen to Genesis 1 and verse 1. We're not going to listen to what the Bible says about marriage between a man and a woman. We're not going to listen to what the Bible says about men being men and women being women. We believe in transgenderism. We believe in homosexuality. We believe in naturalistic evolution or atheistic evolution, and on and on and on. Why? Well, the PhDs and the scientific community, that's what they say. That's what the journals, the scientific journals say, etc. This is, in fact, proud hearers. And it may not be in the scientific community. It may just be you and me. It may be just somebody reading the Word of God and saying, nope, I don't want that. I'm not going to do that. And maybe pride is closer to home. And we just simply refuse to hear God's Word. We don't need to be that kind of hearer. Neither do we need to be a dull hearer. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. The dull hearer is the person whose heart has grown so thick and fat and covered up with the things of this world that the sound and the message of God's word cannot get in. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 13 when he's explaining why he often taught in parables. Jesus quoted from Isaiah, Matthew 13, verse 13, therefore do I speak unto them in parables, because seeing physically, they see not spiritually, and hearing physically, they hear not spiritually, neither do they understand. And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall in no wise understand, and seeing you shall see and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their ears they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should turn again, and I should heal them. God wants people to hear and understand and turn and be healed, but many people don't want it. They're dull of hearing. The older English versions of the Bible, like the one that I just read from, use the word wax gross. The old English word wax, to grow, like the waxing and waning of the phases of the moon. And then the old word gross, not as we use it today, like the idea of being disgusted, but gross, to grow fat or thick. Many today have grown fat and thick with the wrong priorities of the world, worldly affairs, worldly things, and they're dull of hearing. Dull hearers do not want to learn more by hearing, because they have gotten lazy and fat and thick with the things of this world, and they've stopped wanting to learn truth. They let slip what they've heard before, and they don't want to grow anymore, and they're dull of hearing. The dull hearer, the message doesn't get in. The heart has been encrusted and covered over with the things of this world. Are there hearers like that today? Absolutely. Where maybe even messages like this each week, the Let the Bible Speak program, we're trying to let the Bible speak about good things for our life and being right with God and being ready for the judgment day. But many people may hear it and they immediately turn the station. They want to listen to something else because they don't have any time for spiritual things. Their heart is grown thick with the things of this world, and the last thing on their mind is anything dealing with the Bible. I don't want to listen to that. I don't have any room in my heart and life for that anymore. It's all thick and covered over with the things of this world. But don't be like that, friend. Don't be like that kind of hearer. Number three, we need to avoid being the fault-finding hearer. This is the person who listens for words, hoping to trap the speaker. They're not interested in truth and learning and growth and changing and testing themselves to see if they need to make some changes. It's all about listening in order to catch someone in a slip-up. People will do that with politicians when they speak. People will do that with preachers when they speak. When we listen, are we listening for truth? Or are we listening simply to catch the speaker in some sort of mistake so that we can then say, well, I don't need to listen to him? Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verses 53 and 54, after Jesus had preached a very good sermon, but part of that exposed and denounced the religious leaders of the day, and they didn't like that. So in Luke 11, 53, when Jesus was come out from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press upon him vehemently and to provoke him to speak many things, laying wait for him to catch something out of his mouth. Well, why do that? They did not want to change. There's nothing wrong with correcting an unintentional error of a speaker. You would be my friend if you would point out anything that I say that is not according to the Word of God. If I say something like that, I certainly don't intend that. And if you hear something, please correct that. Please bring that to my attention. You would be my friend. But we're not supposed to listen in order to use the words of the speaker against him. That's not going to do us any good. And so these religious leaders and people simply didn't want to change. And if we can get the speaker to mess up, then that gets the attention off of ourselves and onto him, where we want it to be, so that we don't have to make the changes that we need to make. We don't need to be the fault-finding hearer. Number four, we don't need to be the prejudiced hearer. And this is one of the hardest things to be, or one of the easiest things to be, one of the hardest things to overcome, where we have our minds made up already. Turn with me to Acts chapter 7. Verses 54 through 57, Stephen was preaching to an audience of Jews who many of them had their minds made up. Acts 7, 54 through 57. Prejudiced hearers have their minds made up and they don't want to hear anything new, especially the truth. It's kind of like somebody saying, my mind is made up, don't confuse me with the facts. These people are closed-minded. Their ears are closed. When Stephen gets down toward the end of his sermon there in Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. They needed to cut off. Circumcision is the cutting off of the foreskin. And We need to cut off those things that are keeping us from hearing truth, but they were uncircumcised in heart and ears, covered over with prejudices. You do always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Just like the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, for example, we read Jeremiah 13. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? Jeremiah. And they killed them that showed before of the coming of the righteous one, of whom you now have become betrayers and murderers. You who have received the law as it was ordained by angels and kept it not. Now when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They didn't like that. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul of Tarsus, who would become later the Apostle Paul, after he got rid of his prejudiced hearing and mind. He would become a Christian. The prejudiced hearer is the hearer who is not willing to examine new evidence or truth. When Nathanael said, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth, he was told, Come and see. John 1:45-51. He did, and he came and he heard the truth. We've got to be willing to come and listen. We might learn something new and true, and we can bring our life into conformity to God's will. Our prejudice may come from the way we were raised. Our prejudice may come from the country that we grew up in. Our prejudice may come from the church that we grew up in. The way that we've heard it preached before by other preachers. But if it's not from the New Testament scripture, we need to make that change. Stephen faced prejudiced hearers. Paul, after his conversion, he would face the same kind of hearers in Acts 22:21-22. They would listen to him only up to a point. And when he said that he needed to go preach to the Gentiles, they stopped listening. Are there hearers like this today? Absolutely. Those with their minds already made up, and they don't want to turn to the Scripture. I've actually had Bible studies with individuals who would refuse to just read the verse. Turn and open the Bible and read the verse. They fear that they might learn something different, and they don't want to change. Number five, we need to be staying away from what I'm going to call the itching ear hearer. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 4:3-4. The itching ear hearer is the one who seeks out and listens to people who will teach them what they want to hear. Preach it like they want it preached. Teach it like they want it taught. And they don't want to listen to anybody else. Paul talks about this in 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I don't want truth. I don't want what the Bible says. But having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables. Similar to what we just talked about, they've got their minds made up, and I'm only going to listen to people that preach it the way I want it preached. People who want to feel good in their sin seek out preachers who keep them in their sin. People who want to stay in an unscriptural marriage seek out people who are going to preach and maintain their unscriptural marriage. Those who want homosexual relationships will go to churches where homosexuality is preached as okay. This happens all the time. We seek out and listen to preachers who will preach it like the way we want to hear it. It's the itching ear hearer. And we turn away from the truth when we do it. And we turn away to our own lust and find those who are just going to preach in such a way that we can keep our own desires. These kind of hearers don't want the whole counsel of God, Acts 20:27. They don't want to be sound, Titus 1:13. They don't want sound doctrine. Preach it the way we want to hear it. Sometimes this happens in churches where people will leave after a while. They get a good taste of what the preacher is going to preach and how he's going to preach it on a regular basis. And it takes a few months for them to listen. And then, well, we're going to go to another church in town. Happens all the time. Are there hearers like this today? Absolutely. We don't need to be that kind of hearer. And then last of all, we don't need to be a forgetful hearer, where we hear it and then we do not go out and practice it and obey it. And James talks about this in James chapter 1 and verse 27. I'm sorry, James chapter 1 and verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. The forgetful hearer. They do not practice or obey what they hear. I'm not talking about just simply forgetting, like as we get older, we forget things. I'm talking about we hear it, we have no intention of obeying it, and after a little while it leaves our mind. You can forget what you hear by failing to practice what you hear. And this is James' point. There are those in the New Testament like Felix and Agrippa who heard, but they didn't want to obey. And there are people like that today. When we hear, it needs to be with the intention of going out and practicing and obeying. And so James says in verse 25 that we need to be not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh. This man shall be blessed in his doing. That's where it comes, obedience. So if we don't want to be the proud hearer, the dull hearer, the fault-finding hearer, the prejudiced hearer, the itching ear hearer, or the forgetful hearer, what kind of hearer do we need to be? We need to be attentive. We read about that in Nehemiah chapter 8. We need to be glad to hear the word of God, Acts 2:41. We need to be ready to hear, Acts 10:38. We need to desire to hear the word of God, Acts 13:7. And we need to be swift to hear and slow to speak, James chapter 1, verse 19. Friend, how is your hearing? How is my hearing? Each of the seven letters to the churches of Revelation, the churches of Asia in the book of Revelation, Revelation 2 and 3, each one ends with, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Friend, will you open and be attentive, glad to hear truth, ready to hear truth, desiring to hear the truth, swift to hear the truth, and then going out and obeying it? If that's the kind of hearing you are, that you have, and that you want to be, let's get together and study. Come worship with us. Let's sit down with an open mind. If we have hearing loss, spiritual hearing loss, then let us help you to overcome that. You can make that change, and you can listen to God's word. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope that you'll have a good day.